What? French? French?
Hello, this is just a bonus episode, and yes, it is the very first bonus episode of your Leopard Podcast. This is very short, and I do mean very short. This shouldn't take longer than 5 minutes, maybe even 4 minutes. It's just a very short extract from the stories that I've been writing. You might remember from previous episodes of the Storytime podcast, so just listen to that. And if you enjoy it, there'll be more coming over the foreseeable future. So stay tuned for our regular podcast, which will be dropping every week, and the odd bonus podcast, which will be happening every so often as well. You can find us on lapramedia.com, lapra1 on Twitter, and lapramedia is our Instagram handle. And stay tuned for more information as well. We'll be organizing a big exhibition in Madrid soon of photographs, and so we'll be talking about that in regular episodes. So thank you very much for listening so far, and enjoy this very special bonus podcast. Conversation is a gateway drug. O'Donnell felt high now. His nostrils flared, snorting, heaving, inhaling. His ears were injected with it, a hard drug starting with C, like cocaine but not, something like a conversation. A surreptitious bag made fat with several grams of words. A horse in heat, a Neanderthal on the steppe, moving, hunting, grunting. In the metro, always the metro, security, fashion terrorists in their brown and orange uniform, turned a blind eye to all the talking. There he was, the slender man, the beggar, the one that stood in a consecutive carriage and gave the same spiel. "I have a card around my neck," he would say, "and you can see it." Indeed, a card with a name is a universal guarantee of validity, of "you can trust me." But the slender man wasn't on the metro carriage. He was merely in the metro, talking to an African guy selling fake DVDs in a thin, flimsy case. Right there, in the long thoroughfare between lines, the beggar was human. O'Donnell stopped all those migratory thoughts, the ones of football and classes, the ones flying south for winter, and he just stopped, his eyes filling in the gaps made distant by background, experiences, life. "How's business?" "Sure you know yourself." "I do." "Peak season will be Christmas." "Yeah, I'll have to work overtime to meet demand." He spoke with Irish inflections and Trudeau boyisms and lines from Wall Street. How else would O'Donnell understand the world if not the little pieces of world that he had created through little bits of others? Then he united the whole, glued the fragments, and visualized the beggar, the man, as one, walking to work, rain on his face, and waiting for the weekend, checking his pockets, thinking of a spat with the wife, the stupid kid, the other kid that was going to do well out of life, like being in middle management in a bank. On the travelator, O'Donnell glided away from the scene slowly, cinematically, and if he had been listening to Brian Eno on the Owl headphones, he would have been drifting towards some point of destiny, rather than destination. And while stuck in the sure current of metro life, he remembered a gypsy in Plaza de Castilla, the one that rolled in on a bicycle, cocked to look at him, locked up the bike, and then started begging with a faded coffee cup. The mechanics of how people, certain people, came and went was blowing his mind. Class. For O'Donnell, it wasn't just cultural Marxism. It was business. He waited in the classroom and a girl floated past. She was an ex-student who stopped because of a promotion. Stopped, that is, coming to class. Now she just stopped saying hello, exchanging pleasantries. He didn't think about her, outside of class. But there was something about being so openly rejected that stung him. O'Donnell didn't even want love. Just a lukewarm greeting of an acquaintance. On one of her previous rotations around his classroom, she looked at him. He looked at her, and then he returned his gaze to his students, to his present moment of realization. By deliberately choosing not to initiate a nod or a hello, he was trying to protect himself. This had the desired effect, and it also annoyingly gave him power. As she then subsequently made a point of saying hello to him on the three occasions they had come across each other after that. This detente inevitably faded